Call the meeting to order.
I hit.
First order of business is the approval of the agenda. Do we have any changes to the agenda this evening?
We would just note that we added the swearing in of the planning commission member, Mr. Mears, to the agenda, and so it was revised. The only change.
I make a motion to approve the agenda as revised.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda as revised. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Our next item is the approval of the minutes of the October 11, 2018 meeting, revised minutes, and then January 10 and January 24 of 2019.
We just noted there were a couple of small errors when we went back and we were looking at the October minutes, so we brought them back. And then, unless you had any comments regarding January 10th or the 24th, they would be as they stand.
Okay.
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to approve the minutes of October 11, 2018 as revised and January 10 and 24 of 2019 as submitted. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. All right. Thank you. Our next item is old business. We have five items of old business this evening. The first one being conditional use number 2162 Yellow Metal LLC.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend approval of conditional use number 2162 for Yellow Metal LLC in an AR1 and C1 district for a paving construction business with an office and equipment storage based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the use is situated on a 39.63 acre parcel of land. It has C1 frontage on Route 9, but the bulk of the site is to the rear, situated among other larger parcels of land. With the conditions and stipulations of approval, the use will not have a negative impact on the neighboring properties. Two, there are other commercial and contracting uses in this area of Route 9. This conditional use is appropriate for this location along Route 9. Three, no retail sales will occur from the property. Four, the applicant provides construction services throughout the Delmarva Peninsula with a focus on site preparation, paving, seal coating, line striping, and roadway work for residential, agricultural, and commercial uses. Five, the applicant has stated that most of the work is off-site, so there's not a lot of activity that occurs on this site during the day. Six, the site is large enough that with the buffering required by this approval, it will not be visible from surrounding properties and will not adversely affect nearby properties or uses. Seven, the use will not have an adverse impact on the traffic or area roadways. And eight, no parties appeared in opposition to this application. Nine, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, the use shall be limited to a paving construction business with an office and the storage of equipment associated with that use. B, there shall be a 50-foot buffer around the site. The existing woodlands and vegetation shall not be disturbed in these buffer areas. C, according to information presented during the hearing, there are wetlands on this site. The final site plan shall contain a wetlands delineation, and there shall be a 50-foot vegetated buffer from all wetlands areas. The existing trees and vegetation shall not be disturbed in these buffer areas. D, there shall not be any outside storage of paint, seal coating, or other liquid materials associated with the use. E, no retail sales shall occur from the site. F, no vehicle or equipment repairs shall occur outside. G, all lighting on the site shall be downward screened so that it does not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. H, all dumpsters on the site are to be located near the interior of the property and they must be screened from the view of neighboring properties and roadways. I, the applicant shall comply with all DLDOT requirements for entrance and roadway improvements. J, the hours of operation shall be Monday through Saturday from 5:30 a.m. until 6:30 p.m. No deliveries to or from the site shall occur before 7 a.m. K, one lighted sign shall be permitted on the site. It shall be no larger than 32 square feet per side. L, all vehicle parking and large equipment storage shall be clearly shown on the final site plan and clearly marked on the site itself. All vehicles, including the applicant's vehicles and employees' vehicles, must only be parked within the designated areas. M, no outside burning of any materials shall occur on the site. N, no materials such as asphalt, stone, or milling shall be permanently stored on the site. O, no junked, inoperable, or untitled vehicles shall be located on the site. P, the applicant has stated that there will be milling operations proposed for the site. Any milling operations that occur shall be subject to the following additional conditions. One, the applicant shall only mill asphalt materials that are the result of its own road work and paving operations. No materials shall be accepted for milling from any third parties. Two, no milling of trees, stumps, mulch, or materials other than the applicant's own asphalt materials shall occur on the site. Three, milling shall only occur between 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. No milling operations shall occur on Saturday or Sunday. Four, milling operations shall only occur in the central area of the site as far away from the property boundaries as possible. Five, no more than 50 tons, approximately two dump truck loads, shall be milled and stored on the site at any one time. Those materials shall be located on a concrete pad, which is no larger than 50 by 100 feet in size. The concrete pad shall be clearly shown on the final site plan. And six, the pile of milling shall not be higher than 10 feet. Q, failure to comply with any of these conditions shall be grounds for the termination of the conditional use approval. And R, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. That's it.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2162, Yellow Metal LLC, for the reasons and with the stipulations stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Our next item is subdivision 2018-24, Goodwill Farm.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we grant preliminary approval for subdivision 2018-24 for Joseph and Karen Zarenzik and Joel Daniel Guski, Goodwill Farm, based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the applicant is seeking approval of a clustered subdivision within the AR1 zoning district. The lots will have a minimum area of 7,500 square feet. Two, the proposed subdivision will have 104 lots on approximately 56.41 acres. This results in a density that is within the permitted density in the AR1 zone. Three, the proposed subdivision meets the purpose and standards of the subdivision code, and the applicant has adequately addressed the requirements of section 99-9C of the code. Four, the project will be served by Central Water. Five, the project will be served by Sussex County Sewer. Six, the development complies with the Sussex County Comprehensive Plan as a low-density, single-family dwelling subdivision. Seven, this clustered subdivision is superior to a standard subdivision. The clustering allows a significant amount of open space to be maintained along the frontage, which helps preserve the royal character of Byard Road. These areas are part of the approximately 25 acres of open space that are preserved through the cluster design of this property. This represents approximately 44% of the entire site. Eight, the preliminary approval is subject to the following. A, there shall be no more than 104 lots within the subdivision. The lot shall be at least 7,500 square feet in size. B, the developer shall establish a homeowners association responsible for the maintenance of streets, roads, buffers, stormwater management facilities, and other common areas. C, the stormwater management system shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and county. The final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sediment control facilities. D, a forested or landscape buffer of at least 20 feet in depth shall be installed along the entire perimeter of the project. This buffer shall increase to 30 feet in areas where the development borders any lands in agriculture use. These buffers shall not be required in areas where a tax ditch easement is adjacent to the project border. The final site plan shall contain a landscape plan for all of these areas, and no existing vegetation shall be disturbed in any of these buffer areas. E, the development shall comply with all DLDOT entrance and roadway improvement requirements. F, if not required by DLDOT, the developer shall install a multimodal path along the frontage of Byard Road to accommodate the bicycle and pedestrian traffic in the area. This shall include the frontage of Lot 104 along Byard Road. G, Lots 1, 2, 3, 78, and 79, as shown on the preliminary site plan, shall be relocated from the entrance of this subdivision to provide greater open space at the entrance as a superior design. H, there shall be sidewalks on at least one side of all streets within the subdivision. I, the amenities shall include a swimming pool and a clubhouse, and they must be completed by the issuance of the 50th residential building permit. J, the subdivision's lots shall be served by central sewer provided by Sussex County. K, road naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Department. L, construction activities, site work and deliveries shall only occur on site between the hours of 8 a.m. through 5 p.m. Monday through Friday and 8 a.m. through 2 p.m. on Saturdays. M, if required by local school district, the applicant shall coordinate with the local school district's transportation manager to establish a covered school bus stop area with a parking area. N, the applicant and developer shall maintain as many existing trees outside of the buffer area as possible. These tree preservation areas shall be shown on the final site plan. O, the applicant must obtain all necessary amendments to the tax ditches and their easements prior to final site plan approval. P, as stated by the applicant, the developer shall coordinate with DLDOT to relocate and redesign the Byard Road, Central Avenue, Pepper's Corner Road intersection in coordination with the construction of the entrance to the subdivision. Q, a revised preliminary site plan, either depicting or noting these conditions, must be submitted to the Office of Planning and Zoning. R, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. That's my motion.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve subdivision 2018-24 Goodwill Farm for the reasons and with the conditions stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Just for the record.
For the record, I have listened to the recording of this and I am prepared to vote.
Very good.
I voted for it.
Okay. Would that be for the other two upcoming applications as well?
Yes, it would.
All right, then. We'll call for the question again. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Okay, thank you. Our next item is conditional use number 2155, Stokely Materials, LLC.
Mr. Chairman, I move we recommend approval of CU 2155 for Stokely Materials, LLC for a bar pit based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, this application is for 158.74 acre bar pit. The area of the pit itself will not exceed 112 acres. Two, a need exists in the area for dirt, sand, and gravel, and existing bar pit sources are becoming depleted. The material removed from this site will be used throughout the county for a variety of residential and commercial uses and road construction. Three, the site is surrounded by a large poultry operation, lands of the state of Delaware, and wooded land in agricultural preservation. This is an appropriate location for this use. Four, the applicant has skills, experience, and equipment to provide dust control through the use of its water trucks and to keep the area roadways free of dirt and dust from trucks leaving the site. Five, the project, with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it, will not have an adverse impact on traffic or the neighboring properties or community. Six, as a source of fill dirt available to the entire county, the project is essential and desirable for the general convenience, safety, and welfare of the current and future residents of the county. Seven, the pit area is at the end of a paved and gated roadway and is more than 1,200 feet from Route 18. The site is not visible from Route 18. Eight, vegetated buffers will be established along the boundaries of this land and lands of other ownership. Nine, the use is subject to approval from state agencies, including DLDOT and DENREC. 10, no parties appeared in opposition to this application. 11, a dry hydrant will provide a suction supply of water from the site for local fire departments. 12, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions and stipulations. A, no materials shall be brought from off the site for processing, mixing, or similar purposes. B, the excavated area shall not exceed 112 acres. C, water or water truck shall be available for dust control from road traffic when conditions require. D, the only entrance to the pit shall be a paved road from Seashore Highway, Route 18. The entrance shall be fenced or gated to prevent access. E, Any roadway and entrance improvements required by DLDOT shall be completed by the applicant. All entrances shall be secured when the bar pit is not in operation. F, the project shall meet or exceed stormwater management system regulations set forth by the Sussex Conservation District and DENREC through a combination of best management practices and best available technologies. The final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex County Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and settlement control facilities. G, the hours of operation shall be between the hours of 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday and 6 a.m. to 12 to 2 p.m. on Saturdays. No Sunday hours shall be permitted. H, no materials shall be stored on any access roads or within any buffer area. I, no fuel shall be stored on site. J, no stumps, branches, debris, or similar items shall be buried or placed in the site of the bar pit. K, the proposed pit will have a 3-to-1 side slope down to a 10-foot level bench that will be approximately or near 1 foot below the static water surface. Below the water level, the bar pit shall have a 2-to-1 slope, or have 2-to-1 slopes. The depth of the proposed bar pit will not exceed 65 feet. L, a final site plan including all pit slopes, excavation, phasing, and reclamation plans shall be reviewed and approved by the Planning and Zoning Commission prior to the commencement of operations. Reclamation plans shall indicate finished grading, seeding, and planning schedules designed to create a pleasing appearance and protect existing and future developments. M, the applicant shall comply with all state and county erosion and settlement control regulations. N, permanent concrete markers and signs shall be placed at appropriate locations to designate the boundaries of the subject property and pit areas. The boundary markers shall be raised and marked so that they are clearly visible to anyone nearing the site. O, the applicant shall comply with all of the restrictions set forth in Section 115-172B of the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance. P, the bar pit shall be surrounded by a buffer strip, a minimum distance of 100 feet from any street lines, 200 feet from any dwelling of other ownership, and 50 feet from all other property lines of ownership. The buffer area shall be vegetated buffer of existing vegetation or native species vegetation. Q, no wetlands on the site shall be disturbed. R, this approval shall terminate upon the expiration of 50 years from the date of adoption. S, equipment within the bar pit area shall be equipped with BBS Tech white sound alarms or similar system that adjusts to the ambient noise that provides a warning of imminent danger. T, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Mr. Chairman, that's my motion.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to recommend approval of conditional use number 2155 Stokely Materials LLC for the reasons and with the stipulations stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. The next item is conditional use number 2157 Country Lawn Care and Maintenance LLC.
Mr. Chairman and members of the commission, recall that we had a public hearing on this at the last meeting, and during the hearing there was a question that came up about whether there were any restrictive covenants that affected the property. That was brought out, I think, by the opposition to it. I think the commission had questions, and I remember that the applicant's attorney responded with some information regarding the deeds to the property. So what we did is went and did an independent title search so that, you know, everybody would know exactly what was there, since it's all in the record. As a bit of background, based on that title search, this was originally a 247.5 acre piece of property that J.G. Townsend owned. They sold that property to Spring Breeze LLC. While Spring Breeze owned it, what they did is recorded well, actually, they subdivided off some strip lots and recorded a set of restrictive covenants against the strip lots that have frontage on Halemont Road, but specifically the four in question. There's actually, with regard to these specific restrictions, it's 9A, 10A, 11A, and 12A. And they're all fairly large lots. As you recall, to the right of this property was 9A, which was just a tad more than 2 acres, and that was next to the roadway into Spring Breeze. There was the subject property, and then there was lots 11A and 12A, which were, or are, just a little bit more than 7 acres in size. Again, they were subject to restrictive covenants that Spring Breeze LLC specifically put on those four lots, and they recorded it, book 2709, page 113. Significant, and it came out during the hearing, is number 17 in those recorded restrictions, which states no commercial activities are permitted. I mean, so it just has that sentence, period. That's what it states. You know, as I said during the public hearing, the county typically isn't in the business of enforcing restrictive covenants. You know, we wouldn't necessarily know whether they exist or not. We don't do a title search on a property to see if there's restrictions that exist with regard to any of the properties that come before us. However, if it comes up as part of the record, you know, that's part of the record that needs to be considered. And I kind of went back and looked through some other conditional uses, and we've considered them in the past. Said in other ways, you just can't ignore them. You know, there was one, it was a strip lot that was on Route 24, which was fairly recent, and there was a question about whether it was or had a commercial restriction against it because there was other subdivision lots behind it that were questioning that. And we went and looked, and it turned out that the one in the front was not subject to restriction against commercial uses, and that conditional use was approved, but it referenced those restrictive covenants. We had to address it. So, you know, here we have recorded restrictions in the record. You know, however the commission decides to vote on it, we can't simply ignore those. You know, you'd have to say that there are, you know, there is this condition in the restrictive covenant says no commercial activities are permitted. I think you have to take that account into account at least during your decision on it.
What about the testimony that other people had already broken those covenants and restrictions and done other things? And
yeah.
So they what I heard was they said that they thought they were abandoned.
Well, with restrictive covenants, you know, that's ultimately going to be a decision for the Court of Chancery, whether they've been abandoned in whole or if certain provisions of them have been waived or abandoned. In my experience in enforcing those, unless there's a wholesale abandonment of the whole community scheme that's set out by those restrictive covenants, courts usually don't say that the restrictive covenants are abandoned and out the window. What they say is, you know, the certain provisions have been, you know, you see a lot of times in homeowners associations, for example, with sheds and things, you know, if there's a prohibition against sheds, you know, and then they try to enforce it against the ninth person that wants to build a shed, the court will say, well, that provision prohibiting sheds has been abandoned, but they won't say that the whole set of restrictive covenants and the homeowners association and all the other rules have been completely waived or abandoned. So it's really, it comes down to a question of fact for the commission. You can't ignore the restrictions, but you have to determine whether it's your opinion that they're, you know, that they've been enforced. Is there other commercial activities or other things that would make you believe that that they, you know, have been waived in this instance?
Well, is this a four lot? These rules pertain to the four lots?
They do. So they pertain to the four lots, but to be clear, and I don't know this, I didn't research this, it looks like they might have done four lots and four lots and four lots and four lots along the way to get the strip lot approvals. And then they subdivided the back part into, I think it's a large subdivision, it's a large cluster subdivision, and they're all 7,500 square lots. But the enforceability of those restrictive covenants runs back to Spring Breeze LLC and all successors and assigns. So that would be anybody, I think, you know, that has its chain of title relating back to Spring Breeze, which would be any of those strip lots potentially and anybody in that subdivision, because it would all, you know, connect back to Spring Breeze.
Well, was there some conversation during the meeting about possibly him buying one of the lots and then getting three votes? Are you saying that even if he bought the lot beside him, he probably
Well, that's a private enforcement action between, you know, a contract issue as far as amending the restrictions between them and the other property owners. I mean, that's a possibility, just like in any association, if you get, you know, a majority or two-thirds or whatever the case.
Okay, are you saying that this association is for, or because the chain of title goes back, you might have 247 people?
You might have that many, yeah, yeah.
So it's not clear.
Yeah, because it all relates back to Spring Breeze, which had the 247-acre parcel.
Right, and the fact that wasn't there a guy, the guy who had the lot before this guy bought it, had some lawn mowing business on it?
And that's more the question of fact, you know, like I said, whether that sort of established a precedent that you all are comfortable with. You know, again, it goes, we can't ignore it, you have to address it.
And I just want to make sure I've got all the facts and, and, you know, you're the legal mind here. Yeah. Not just the question answer.
No, it's a good question, and it's one, like I said, that kind of goes into I can't tell you how to interpret the facts, you know, and how to decide it, but that's something to be taken into account.
Well, you know, I mean, I think that is a valid question, because of whether it's one lawnmower that he took out and did commercial or whatever, was making money with cutting people's grass, or 20, does that make a difference?
I think probably up to you all to decide, you know.
It would make a difference with the residents that are there, with the activity,
right?
Well, breaking the rule. I mean, if you're whether you're obliging to the covenants or not, whether your porch, you know, whether your porch hangs out 2 feet or 10 feet, if the rules say no porches, then I guess the same with the business. If it was one lawnmower or 15 lawnmowers, I mean, it's because somehow or other we do have to look at, you know, a young fledgling business, you know, in a family, and you know, there's more, you know, there's a lot to all this,
right? Well, my thought was just kind of let you know what we knew. As far as restrictions, you might want to mull on that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not into breaking.
I would definitely like some more time to think.
Yeah,
about
I think
this.
With the given the discussion that I'd like to make a motion.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not into running around the rules at all. I mean, I think we need to be super careful, very careful about that. But this is, you know, there's a lot at play here, I think.
I agree. So having said all of that, I'd like to make a motion to defer.
Second.
Do they want to close the record?
Moved.
I don't think you need to, because that's legal advice. I don't think we need to close the record.
It's been moved and seconded to defer action on conditional use number 2157, Country Lawn Care and Maintenance LLC. And by the way, did we leave the record open?
That's what we were just saying. Did we, or?
We did for that specific reason.
Okay. That's fine. I didn't know if that fell under the category.
Motion to close the record.
I amend my motion to close the record.
And defer
action. And defer.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to close the record and defer action on conditional use number 2157, Country Lawn Care and Maintenance LLC, to allow the commission more time to consider the information presented this evening. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay, thank you. Our next item is change of zone number 1870, Karak Rehoboth 3 LLC.
Mr. Chairman, I move we recommend approval of change of zone 1870 for Karak Rehoboth 3 LLC for a change in zone from AR1 to C3 heavy commercial based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, C3 heavy commercial zoning is designated to allow auto-oriented retail and service businesses that serve local and regional residents. Permitted uses include retail uses, restaurants, offices, and vehicle service stations. Two, the site is at the rear of a C1 property fronting along Route 1 that are currently used for retail purposes. This location is appropriate for this type of zoning. Three, this location is currently used for overflow parking and stormwater management from the adjacent C1 zoning. This application is a reasonable extension of the existing C1 district, and the applicant has stated that there will be interconnectivity with its existing C1 property. Four, as stated by the applicant, there will be interconnectivity between this site and the existing C1 retail area that is adjacent to it. Five, the site will be served by Central Water and Sussex County Sewer. Six, the site is in the environmentally sensitive developing area and highway commercial area according to the Sussex County Land Use Plan. This type of commercial use is appropriate in these areas according to the plan. 7. The proposed rezoning meets the general purpose of the zoning code by promoting the orderly growth, convenience, order, prosperity, and welfare of the county. 8. Any further use of the property will be subject to site plan review by the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. Mr. Chairman, that's my motion.
Second.
It's moved and seconded to recommend approval of change of zone number 1870 Karak Rehoboth LLC, 3 LLC, for the reasons and with conditions stated in the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to a point in our meeting where it's time for our public hearings. We're glad that you're with us this evening, giving up your Thursday evening to participate in your planning and zoning process. I assure you that anyone who wishes to speak on a given application will be given the opportunity to do so at the appropriate time and in accordance with the rules of the commission. Speaking of the rules of the commission, please allow me to direct your attention to our esteemed counsel to my left and your right, who has a few well-chosen words to share with you about the way we conduct our meetings and the way we would like you to conduct yourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Chairman Wheatley stated, this is the time for the scheduled public hearings before the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission as shown on tonight's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present is invited to stay throughout the commission meeting to view the commission's deliberations and the votes on the pending applications. In addition, these proceedings are broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please don't do anything that distracts from these proceedings, and we ask that you follow the directions of the chairman. If you have a telephone or similar device, we also ask that you turn it off or switch it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman, and then the director will review the application and describe any agency comments or correspondence that has been received. Then the applicant will present and explain its application to the commission and may present any relevant exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. Supporters will go first, followed by any opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that they identify themselves and speak first. Whenever speaking to the commission, please come up to the podium and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate testimony from anyone that is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. During the proceeding, Sussex County and its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, source of income, handicap or disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the county in its deliberations. During the proceedings, no direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicant, supporters, or opponents will be permitted. Any question should be directed to the commission, and the commission will direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary. Finally, there will be no rebuttal by the applicant unless requested or permitted by the commission. An individual supporting or opposing the application will only be allowed one opportunity to speak to the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right.